Why take one vacation with the family when you could take all of them? With Royal Caribbean, you don't just go to the beach. You visit a private island and race down the tallest water slide in North America. You don't just go for a road trip. You ATV and zip line through the jungle. You don't just go somewhere new. You rappel down waterfalls and discover ancient temples. Because this isn't just any vacation. This is all the vacations. Come seek the Royal Caribbean. Ships Registry, Bahamas.
Yep, it's TMZ Verified, the podcast. I'm Wild.
I'm Steph.
I'm Isaac.
I'm Jacob.
We have so much to get into today. Woo. Yesterday was the Met Gala.
Met Gala.
My favorite time of the year.
Mm-hmm.
Let's get into some Met Gala stuff.
Oh, yes.
Because I know yesterday was a big day. Mm-hmm. I mean, listen, I'm personally not the biggest Met Gala guy. Because I don't
I think I'm a Met Gala guy because I love it.
Well, I guess there's a lot to love. I mean, I don't really understand what makes a good outfit and a bad one. I saw there was a lot of clamoring in the office mm-hmm. on like, oh, that dress is so boring. Like, oh, I love that one. I have no opinion. I don't really get what makes good, what makes bad.
Right. Right. So let's get into the biggest name of the night.
Mm-hmm.
And that is Kim Kardashian wearing Marilyn Monroe's dress from 1962.
Crazy.
How wild. Did you guys see it?
Yes, uh-huh. Of course. It was amazing.
That dress has never been worn before. The story behind the dress is beyond crazy. Kim went to Orlando to the museum where it is being held.
Ripley's Believe It or Not,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, Ripley's Believe It or Not.
So they've been preserving the dress?
They have. It's for show for people who go to that museum.
Okay.
So
okay.
Marilyn wore it 60 years ago, then Kim wore it. No one else in between.
No one.
That's crazy.
It was never washed. It was never dry cleaned. Nothing. So Kim goes to Orlando months ago because she, you know, had a feeling that this is kind of the vibe that she wanted. And Ripley's was not feeling it. She had tried it on. It did not fit the way that she wanted, the way Kim wanted it to fit. It did not fit the way Ripley's wanted it to fit on her. So it was kind of a no-go. Then back in March, she went back to Ripley's. Mm. And she was like, let me give it one more shot. I've shed some weight. Let's try it on again. And they were here for it.
How much weight did she lose?
In the course of like the month, since she first tried it on to March, she lost 16 pounds.
Jesus.
I'm like, teach me.
Marilyn Monroe ain't got the same body as Kim Kardashian.
They had to sew Marilyn Monroe's dress on to Kim.
That was my question.
Kim was dropping hints throughout the past few weeks to a month, being like, I'm wearing something that can't be altered. I'm wearing something that, you know, I have to, you know, work for. And so everyone was kind of, she was dropping these hints, subtle hints along the way to, you know, subtly say that she was wearing, and mm-hmm. people put it all together when we photographed her walking out of Ripley's in Orlando with P. Everyone was like, this is kind of sus. What's at Ripley's?
Yeah, right.
It was kind of clue after clue, you know, the internet piecing every little piece together. She lost the weight and they were totally down for her wearing it. What I think is the coolest part is that they made a replica of the dress. So Kim didn't even wear the dress for longer than, let's say, 45 minutes from her hotel room to the carpet.
Okay.
And then she went in, like, I have goosebumps. I think that's so sick.
They
made a replica of the dress. And also, I forgot to say that the dress was just not fitting over her ass. She lost the weight. She lost the weight, probably hips, stomach. The ass was the issue.
I also agree. I don't think the dress could fit over her ass.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. So she had the little situation.
Right. So then people saw that she had this jacket, and what that white little fur jacket was covering was just the zipper part by her bottom of her back leading to the crack where she couldn't get it
like
zipped up.
Okay.
Oh. So Isaac said that leading to the crack.
Yeah. I mean, we all know that, you know, that one part that the dress won't fit in. So she had to kind of wear that white little, you know, jacket moment to, mm-hmm. you know, leave it. It was like off the shoulder a bit.
Yeah, it was nice.
And so that was to cover that part that couldn't zipper all the way up.
Wow.
So she had taken those pictures. It was iconic. Ripley's, you know, loved it on her. And then, like I said, when she got inside, she put on the replica that they had made for Kim of the exact same dress. And they put it right back away. And now it's actually going to be put in Hollywood at the Museum of forget
the Isaac,
name.
You got one job, man. It's the facts. You got to come with the facts.
I forget the name of the hotel.
Can I be a hater for a second? Mm-hmm. So I kind of said this earlier. I am not like a Met Gala fan. And there are a couple sayings and phrases that I just want to delete from everyone's vocabulary after yesterday.
Okay, tell
one, us. And again, not trying to pick on Isaac too much, but I feel
like this is just like your bit.
Iconic. Why is everything iconic? If we call everything iconic, then the word loses meaning. It's like you can only use that like every so often.
I feel like you're calling me out specifically.
I'm going to say that this right here is iconic. Wearing a dress that hasn't been worn in 60 plus years
awesome,
from Marilyn Monroe is freaking iconic.
Also, let's talk about the fact that they gave her a lock of hair. Ripley's gave Kim Kardashian a lock of Marilyn's hair. I think that's the coolest part of this
entire
story.
What Kim gonna do with that?
Kim's like, I made a joke out of it. She's like, I'm gonna sleep with this to pee. And Pete was like laughing.
Wait, sorry. I need to fight back against Isaac because with his eyes, he looked at me and said that he wanted to fight me. So the thing is, the Marilyn Monroe dress was iconic.
Yes.
Objectively. If like a movie comes out, like I'm trying to think, Toy Story, iconic movie.
Yes.
Toy Story 2? No, that's the sequel. It's not iconic.
But I feel like
you don't think
all the look.
Nah,
if everyone
shit,
that was in the original Toy Story like 20 years later came back and did another Toy Story, I would be like, iconic.
No, but no. Oh, whatever. We agree.
It's just like classic.
Agree to disagree. You're wrong.
Second,
this is
Jacob
iconic.
Likes
okay,
a classic.
Go ahead, Jacob.
One
tell
more.
Us your
just
second.
One more. Best life. Get over. I'm so tired of people saying they're living
their best life.
Dude,
you're just saying this is another say.
I'm on Twitter because I have to.
You got PTSD from yesterday.
Jacob is on one today.
Dude,
yes,
I was covering.
Jacob's like,
I was
no
covering.
One's living their best life. I'm like, oh. Okay.
Not around here.
Well, no, again, it's just like, what does that mean? It's like, why is everyone, you can't always be living your best life.
No, you can't.
No,
always.
You can't.
No.
I'm sorry. Again, I said I'm going into this, I'm being a hater.
We'll talk later, Jacob.
Let's get into what we talked about with Sophia as we get into this interview that we did with her. Me and Jacob interviewed Sophia Franklin, and we just wanted to give you a little bit of background on what exactly happened with Sophia in the last 2 years. We'll break it down for you, me and Jacob. Yeah?
Yeah. I mean, the thing with this podcast or the thing with this interview that we had with Sophia is Sophia's actually done a lot of talking after this whole caller daddy dispute.
So much.
And what was so interesting about our conversation, if I don't want to pat ourselves on the back, is that she was very open and vulnerable. It wasn't just talking about like dating advice, although we do get into that. She was really wearing her heart on her sleeve and talking about the emotional toll that this took on her. And again, we kind of dive into it. But for those who haven't been or who didn't follow the Caller Daddy breakup, if you might recall, Caller Daddy, I think, began in around 2019. It was
2018.
Sorry. You'll also see that Stephanie is like a super stan.
I'm sorry.
Caller Daddy.
Let me just
fan.
Break it down super quick. I'm a super fan, so it's like easy for me to just like sum it up.
Go ahead.
So basically, Alex Cooper and Sophia had a podcast together called Caller Daddy. This thing shot to the top of the charts almost instantly, overnight. They talk about sex tips. They talk about their personal lives, their own like sexual experiences on the podcast. They really give girls and guys a way into the modern dating world, I would say. Basically, they had a great podcast. Everything was going great until they wanted to negotiate their contract with Barstool Sports. Dave Portnoy, the founder of Barstool Sports, technically owned Call Her Daddy. Mm. And so they wanted to renegotiate. Basically, there were some rumors going around that they weren't making enough money compared to, let's say, men or let's say more people in the industry that were at that magnitude of a podcast. They should be making more money. Well, Dave said, I'm going to sue you guys if you shop this around too much. So he offered them $500,000 and more perks, I would say, within
tons
this whole
of
thing.
Perks.
Right.
He let them, he said, you can keep the Caller Daddy IP.
Yeah.
Right.
Meaning it's like Caller Daddy, it's your intellectual property. If you want to take it and run with it in the future, that's fine. But what's just important to us is that you stay at our company.
But here's the thing. The controversy happened. Yes, they felt lowballed together. Alex Cooper and Sophia both felt that way. The problem here, the divide, is when Alex Cooper took this deal from Barstool and Sophia said, I'm not taking it. I deserve more, which she really stuck up for herself. We really get into that on the podcast. But the problem was Alex Cooper and Dave Portnoy and Barstool and the world sort of, you know, we can't put words into other people's mouths, but allegedly people were saying that Sophia Franklin was making this decision based on the guy that she was with at the time. They call him Sloop Man, Suit Man, and call her daddy.
Well, yeah, so Dave Portnoy, I guess, caught wind. Again, these are all allegations. A lot of this is from Dave Portnoy's side. Right. And that's what the narrative mostly was, because Sophia Franklin stayed quiet this whole time. But Dave Portnoy caught wind that apparently Sophia Franklin was shopping the podcast, that and the person that was making these business deals or attempting to make these business deals was Sophia Franklin's boyfriend. And so while this was all going on and this whole caller daddy fiasco was going out, Dave Portnoy steps in on social media and like was destroying this guy. And in addition to Sophia too.
Well, get this. When they made that disagreement and they're going, now Alex is taking the deal, Sophia's not, clearly there's a divide. Dave Portnoy gets on the Caller Daddy podcast and kind of breaks down his side of it. Then Alex talks. Now, the whole world is only hearing Alex and Dave Portnoy's side, not Sophia's. Sophia's really going through it. She lost a best friend overnight. She lost a career overnight. She was really going through it mentally. She describes that in our interview with her. But the issue was she took so long to respond that the world kind of made up their own assumptions. Wow. They were giving her death threats, bad, bad hate, bullying in her Instagram comments on Twitter. I mean, you could Google her name and it was just all negative.
And I will just say that, I mean, objectively, there is stuff that she says in our interview that she's never revealed before. Have you been following this Caller Daddy fiasco?
If you listen to every podcast like me, this podcast releases some info that even I was like, oh, I didn't know that about the entire situation.
Wow.
So basically, we really get into the nitty gritty in this interview. Not only we get to see a side of Sophia no one's ever seen before in terms of being really honest and giving us some info no one knows, but also telling the side of, yeah, Alex Cooper does have a $60 million deal with Spotify, but we also know that Sophia is doing great things right now and her side of the story also matters. So we really gave her that.
Cool.
Yeah, so Sophia's going to break down all the drama, all of everything in our interview. Really excited for it. Sophia with an F.
Sophia with an F is her podcast. She came out with some amazing merch recently. I'm so excited for it, and she was amazing. Welcome back to TMZ Verified. I'm Steph.
I'm Jacob.
And this is Sophia Frank. Sorry.
I was about to introduce yourself? Myself.
Do
Yeah, do it.
Hi, guys. Sophia Franklin on here. I'm super fucking excited.
I was going to say Sophia with an F, Franklin with a Y. Don't forget.
Thank
you. We're so excited to have you here.
Thank you so much.
So you don't live in LA?
Hell no.
What do you mean hell no?
Absolutely fucking not.
Why?
Tell me Los Angeles hasn't changed a little bit.
It has.
It's changed a lot.
Okay. We grew up here, so we like,
Yeah, I was at a Trader Joe's and there was someone who came in and was screaming bloody murder and was saying he was like going to kill everybody. And I was like, I live in New York and there's obviously like a lot of crime and stuff, but the crime in Los Angeles, like New York, you know what to expect. Los Angeles, it was just like a little bit jarring.
It's a curveball.
Definitely.
It was.
Curveballs.
Definitely.
But you know what? I always talk shit on Los Angeles and I really need to stop.
But you just moved to New York.
I did.
So that's like a new beginning. Did you get your apartment settled and like what's been going on with that?
I have one couch and one bed. And so I really like don't have a home. Like I walk in there and it's like a storage unit.
Okay.
But we're getting there. It feels so fucking good to be back. Can I swear I've said the F word 27 times
already? Yeah, well, no worries. And also like something that people don't talk about is that it's impossible to get a place in New York right
now.
Impossible. Uh-huh.
Impossible.
So, okay, so you moved to New York. Mm-hmm. And but you have to have spent like a good amount of time in LA, just being a podcaster, running a business. Like, I would imagine you bounce between both places or not?
All the time. Like, probably every other month I'm here. I mean, I was here last week and I was back here now. So, like, I'm constantly here. Yeah.
You were living in Utah, though, when all of this shit went down.
Yeah.
How was that?
I've been living in New York for a month and a half. Before that, I was living in my mother's basement in Utah for 2 years.
Iconic.
I really love how you're phrasing it that way. It was bizarre. I was 16 again. I didn't have a car. I had to ask my mom, like, can I borrow the car to like go places? I don't know. That was also a very dark time
right.
for me living there.
Well, I mean, you were also going through a lot. I know you've talked a lot about mental health. You're a big mental health advocate, which mm-hmm. I appreciate. So, I mean, and also, I think it's natural. Granted, you were in a peculiar situation. But whenever I would, like, come home for breaks from college, you revert back into, like, your childhood self.
100%. I'm, like, hiding alcohol. I'm like, my mom doesn't need to see these White Claws in the garbage. Like, why?
But I will say, like, when you went through all this shit, was it better to be with family, for sure? Just because of 2020 and all that shit that's going on?
Oh, 100%. I needed to be there. Did I think I was going to end up living there for 2 years? No, but that's just kind of how shit went down.
Did you, like, reconnect with high school friends? Or how does it work when you obviously were in New York, you were on such a big stage, and you came back to kind of where it all started?
You know, yes, I did. Like, start, like, rekindling, like, the friendships I had there. But really, for the most part, I did revert back to kind of my high school self a little bit. But I was also, you said I talk about mental health. I was very, like, numb in a dark space. Like, that time period, I honestly, like, don't really remember that well.
Wow.
Yeah.
So what were some of the things that you were doing to help you get through it?
Like, a day in the life of living in Utah post all this.
I mean, every single day was different. It was like a strategy that my brain just did where I just kind of, like, shut down. And I didn't really let myself feel for a while. And then I think over time, I started going to therapy. Like, I started doing all of those things. And I mean, there were also some unhealthy things I did, like a lot of drinking, whatever. But now I'm in such a better place.
Right. And I feel like you've talked about nonstop what exactly happened, how it all went down. But, like, something like you lost a best friend in this whole entire mm-hmm. situation. Was that, like, the hardest part of it, aside from, like, the cancellation? Was you lost a best friend, which is hard in itself.
Right. So are you asking me, like, if that was the hardest part of it
yeah,
all?
Yeah, or what was the hardest part out of all of the hard parts? It happening in 2020, losing a friend, mm-hmm. losing that, you know, stability of a career.
Right. So you would think losing the friend would have been the hardest part, but what I realized very early in that whole drama was that was never a friend to begin with.
Right.
So I didn't really feel that loss. It was more like I felt like I was duped and I was an idiot. And I was like, you had no idea, like, who this person was. You thought they were your really good friend, but I don't think that was ever real.
So I mean, you're in LA now. Alex Cooper lives here.
Well, I live in New York, but I'm here.
Well,
right
sorry.
Now.
Yeah, you're just visiting. And you said that you come here pretty frequently. Mm-hmm. I mean, have you guys talked since the breakup, or is it just been radio silence?
Radio silent, which I would also like to say, it's been, like, how long has it been?
So tomorrow it's actually 2 years since your last text.
For
to
those
her.
Who are counting.
For those fans out there, I'm one of them.
The fact that you know
set
that.
The date in the your first podcast back on Sophia with an F. You think I'm kidding? It's been 2 years.
That is fucking hilarious that you know that. That's kind of, that is wild. That was the last text I sent.
Yeah.
Should I text her right now?
Yeah, and be like, hey, I was wondering if you could come to DMZ.
Be like, it's our 2 year anniversary.
Love you.
Well, you're also in LA. I'm sure you guys kind of roam with similar people. I mean, do you ever think, oh, we might bump into each other and what that interaction would be like?
I don't think about it. I don't think about her. I don't, like, follow up on anything that she's doing or whatever's happening. I mean, if we bump into each other, we bump into each other.
Do you ever hate watch?
Never.
Okay, what about when you meet someone new? Do you go, okay, I wonder whose side they took in the beginning?
I actually don't ever think that way.
Okay, that's good.
But, I mean, I've had some interactions where people will be like, come up to me and be like, are you Sophia Franklin? I just want you to know, like, I didn't take sides. Like, I, like, support both of you guys, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, dope. Like, okay, cool.
You're like, listen, like, if you didn't take my side right away, don't talk to me.
Who's asking for that?
Like, no, right? Yeah. I'm like, I didn't ask. But also, there have been people who were very public and took her side or Barstool's side. And there was a moment in time where I was like, fuck them. I'm not going to collab with them. I'm not going to do anything. And then I've kind of had to be real about the situation and be like, you know, people read things in the news and believe it, you know? Mm-hmm. And I kind of have to just let that go. Do I have a little tiny part in the back of my head where I'm like, you know, fuck off? Like, yeah, you were dumb. You were a sheep and you were dumb to believe everything you read. Yes, but no, for the most part, it doesn't bother me.
Well, during that whole time, like, Alex Cooper was super outspoken. Mm-hmm. So I think people were just so curious to know about what was going on. And she was the only person talking. And I was always thinking, like, damn, Sophia must have something up her sleeve. Like, I don't know if it's a lawsuit. Who knows? but it sounds like it might have just been mental health struggles, which makes sense.
Yeah. A lot of people have asked me why I just went radio silent. Mm-hmm. And sometimes looking back, I think you should have just like went out there and like talked your shit and told your story and told the truth. But I think it was a mixture of I was very, my mind was not okay. And I also think that I knew better than to try to say my piece when she had the podcast. She had access to all the listeners. She had access to everyone that listens to Barstool, follows Barstool, and had Dave Portnoy. And it was like, whatever I said, it was just going to get trampled. And I just thought, you know what? When I feel ready to say my piece, I'm going to say my piece in a big fucking way. And I'm going to take my time to heal and figure out, you know, strategize.
Yeah.
For those who said, this whole thing happened because of the boyfriend that you had at the time. Mm-hmm. Do you think that if that would have happened regardless, if you didn't have the boyfriend or not, the ending of the friendship, ending of the podcast?
I think 100% it was a ticking time bomb.
It would have happened regardless.
Regardless, okay. Just knowing her past, like friendships, like went through 6 best friends, none of them were left. MILF Hunter, I'm sure if you followed the show, mm-hmm. like her completely fucking him over in front of me. So I think eventually it would have happened. And I think when people say, oh my God, Sophia was just some puppet and her boyfriend was pulling the strings and she was doing whatever he says. For people who know me, no dude is telling me what the fuck to do. No man is telling me like, oh my God, you need to go do this. You need to go do this. If anything, it's the fucking opposite. And I'm the one doing that. I think it was just a matter of she, at the end of the day, was like, you know what? I want to do this. Sophia wants to do this. And I'm willing to completely fuck her over and take it for myself.
If you could hit the rewind button, would you change anything? Or are you just exactly happy how it all turned out in terms of where you are now?
The only thing I would change, and this is something I don't think I've ever said before, I think that we were both so hot-headed and so stubborn. I do wish we would have had more of a communication, but at the same time, I tried, right? I reached out and she wasn't having it. I do wish maybe we could have been a little bit more open and like talking to each other. But with that said, I actually don't think that would have made the outcome any different. Mm-hmm. I think she knew what she wanted and she was willing to, you know, like stomp on me.
So say like, I'm just going to throw a hypothetical. Because I heard you say and on another podcast, like the chances of us collaborating again are zero. Mm-hmm. But say I'm Alex Cooper mm-hmm. and I step up and I'm like, yo, it's been a minute. Mm-hmm. I want to collab. We had something special. What can I do to make things right?
I don't like to walk around with hate in my heart, and I don't have that towards her. I would do a collaboration, but it wouldn't be a kumbaya, let's hold hands and like move forward. It would be like, yeah, I mean, we can talk, but like, let's be real with each other, you know?
For sure.
But I don't have hate there. Like, I've moved on. Like, I'm doing my life. She's doing hers. And that's what it is.
Yeah. And by the way, it's like, you're killing it. I always see really Sophia are. With an F on top 200 of podcasts. You own your own company. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's different than what you guys had before. And also, again, I think I could speak for Steph. Call Her Daddy, when you guys were doing it together, it was gospel for so many mm-hmm. people.
It was.
I remember literally, like, I was at school. I was in college. and I would be talking to dudes. And they'd be like, you know, I know how to treat a woman right in the bedroom. And I was like, for sure, man. Like, dope. And he was like, no, have you heard of Call Her Daddy? And I'd be like, no, what's that? And then he's like, oh, dude, they teach you how to do everything. And then I put on, I'm like, all right, I got to check this out. And then I turn on an episode. It's like, do you want to be a bad bitch? And I'm like, oh, what the fuck?
You're like, what the fuck?
Yeah, I'm
fuck
like, wait, whoa,
happening?
I don't know if I want to be a bad bitch.
No, I think that was part of like the success. Was it was like, we're teaching girls how to give the sloppiest, nastiest blowjob, but there's so many pointers in there for dudes on like how to, you know, land a fucking hot ass bitch.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Which is, I mean, I do that on my podcast now, so if you and the Neff, but I think, yeah, that was like, that was a huge reason it was so successful. It was for men and women.
I think the new one's successful because you do a mixture of, you know, yes, the Gluck Gluck 3000 tips, yes, you know, tips, yes, on fingering. But then the next episode's like, well, my mental health this week's not right, that great. That was not the case on Call Her Daddy.
No.
I prefer this, truly.
Really?
Yeah, because it's a mixable. Not all the time am I wondering how to give the best blowjob.
Right.
Sometimes I am going through a mental right, health day. You know
right,
what I mean? Like, I want a little bit of both.
That's so refreshing to hear, right? It's not, it's, every episode shouldn't be like, this is how you want to choke on a dick. It's like,
right,
this is how you want to choke
that's
on a dick.
That's not real life.
No,
this
it's
one's
not
more real.
Yes.
Not that the other one was fake, but.
I mean, this, I'll tell you right now, Sophia Neff is 100 times more real.
Why take one vacation with the family when you could take all of them? With Royal Caribbean, you don't just go to the beach. You visit a private island and race down the tallest water slide in North America. You don't just go for a road trip. You ATV and zip line through the jungle. You don't just go somewhere new. You rappel down waterfalls and discover ancient temples. Because this isn't just any vacation. This is all the vacations. Come seek the Royal Caribbean. Ships Registry, Bahamas.
You know, I know I sound like such a nerd. I don't know when I answered this question, but I asked this to, we had Holly Scarfone from Too Hot to Handle. She was on a couple episodes ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just thinking, like, you know, whenever you're at like a family reunion or you meet your boyfriend's parents, and obviously you are so successful, you have your own media company, you have your own podcast, like you're doing big things. But when they're like, so, like, what do you do? How do you answer that question?
Honestly, I would be lying if I said, like, it hasn't been a little bit nerve-wracking, 100%. I mean, I just posted something where I was on a stripper pole in front of Rudy Giuliani, and I'm, like, half naked with stripper heels. I really just try to say, I own a media company, and I do have a podcast, and I just talk about mental health, and it's a little bit raunchy. Like, sometimes I'll talk about sex and relationships, and I phrase it that way. I know for sure the parents probably go and listen to an episode and are like, what is the hell is my son fucking dating? But it's the name of the game.
Have your parents, like especially when Call Her Daddy was coming out, were they like, so Sophia, what is the Gluck Gluck 3000?
No. My mom, I remember, said, called me frantically and said, please block every single human being that we know that lives in Utah and anyone that like knows me. And she hated it. And you know what's really funny? I mean, I've been doing this for what, 3 years now about? To this day, I'll drop an episode and she'll call me and say, did you have to say the F word that much? You really didn't need to go into that much detail. I'm like, damn, you're really not gonna let this go.
Well, she's being a good mom. She's looking out.
I know, but it's like, mom, it's been like 3-something years. Like, I don't think it's changing. Yeah.
But they were supportive.
Yes, she was. She was. I mean, she had a hard time, but at the end of the day, she was like, if you're happy doing that, like, I support it.
When this all went down, was there a minute that she was like, was there a minute where your mom was like, or you were like, maybe I should go back to the finance thing?
Hell no. Absolutely not. Absolutely. I mean, once you leave that world and you enter this one, there's no going back.
But
know?
After the podcast Call Her Daddy ended, did you know you wanted to start another podcast immediately? You're like, I got to get back out there.
100%. And okay. I mean, I wanted to die every single day. Like, I worked in finance, you know? And so I knew it was like, I need to be in entertainment in some way, shape, or form.
Is it the worst when, like, I don't know, at least from my perspective, when I'm talking to anyone and they're like, yo, so, like, are you trading crypto right now? Like, I want to blow my brains
literally,
out.
Literally, I don't
I couldn't,
get it.
Like, I respect you being like, I would never go back to finance. Like, finance was never something that I would be, like, wanting to go in. I get cash is king. But, like, when you guys go on dates and a guy just starts riffing about, like, his portfolio, do you want to blow your brains out?
1000%. And I, you know what? This is what I always say. Money talks, wealth whispers.
Damn.
100%. Take that
there
with
we go.
You. 100%. And then, but the crypto is a whole different fucking level now. Like, if you come up to me and you're talking about like Dogecoin, the metaverse, I'm like, please, like, leave me the fuck alone.
Sophia, like, we could turn your Instagram into like NFTs. We could sell them as NFTs.
Do I have a Coinbase account? Yes, but it's, I don't know. Crypto is just like, if I know a guy is super involved in that, I know there's like a huge conference in the Bahamas right now. Instant, my vagina shrivels up and is dry as fuck, and I'm not into it.
Me too.
So, who are you dating right now? Can you spill?
That's a really good question. I'm not going to answer that directly because it's a little bit up in the air. Okay. It's a little bit confusing right now. And that's me being completely genuine. I haven't even said on my podcast or told my listeners like what that situation is. Yeah, but that's what I'll say.
Okay.
Well, so, you know, I know during the fallout of Call Her Daddy, like, everyone was pointing to Suit Man. Mm-hmm. Like, whatever. I actually don't even... It was Peter,
oh,
I think.
Oh, it's Peter Nelson.
Peter
Suit
Nelson.
Man?
There you go.
Yep. Sloot Man.
Yeah.
Sloot Man. Excuse me.
So, I know you've said before that you guys are on decent terms, but do you talk ever? What's your relationship like now?
You know, I will say this. People were really curious as to, did they break up? Did they stay together? We stayed together.
You stayed together?
Yeah. And it was for a really long time. And I mean, technically, we might still be together. It might be a little bit up in the air. I don't want to say too much, but for those 2 years, he was right by my side.
Did this Call Her Daddy experience bring you guys 50 times closer?
You know, in a way, and this is where I just like, I'm so genuine and authentic and honest. I think we were both having some struggles. I mean, I know I was. I can't speak for him. And I think it, at first, we were just both so numb. Like, I couldn't be close to anyone. Like, right. I actually started not trusting, like, my best friends.
Right, like is it hard to make friends now every time you meet someone new?
A little bit. Like, I'm a little bit scared. Like, my trust issues were already bad.
Yeah, no
like,
kidding.
Every girl—
Literally.
There's no girl that doesn't have fucking trust issues because boys are a little bit pieces of shit sometimes. But I guess girls can be too. But it was, like, tenfold. Did it bring us closer? I think, ultimately, yeah. But also, no, it didn't bring us closer because I knew the whole time what the intentions were and they were pure and they were good and it wasn't him trying to get fucking money. Like,
right.
I'm going to let some guy make money off my shit? Like, no, are you kidding me? I have guys pay for my shit.
Right, so, other than saying to people, fuck off, when they say, oh, she, you know, ruined this whole podcast and friendship for a guy. What do you have to say once and for all for those people? Because that's the other side of this whole thing.
You have to be out of your fucking minds to think that I would blow something up over a guy. I have daddy issues. I have trust issues. What I'm actually working on in therapy is how my therapist verbatim said, Sophia, you treat boys like toys. And it's because of like your daddy issues and like everything else. And to think that I would let a boyfriend like, you know, have that much of an influence on me, my career, my friendships is just like bizarre.
Yeah.
So no.
Yeah.
Because I think the problem was she was doing all the talking and you didn't talk at all.
Right.
And I think that disconnect from the fans, they were just curious.
Yes.
As even me as a fan myself, I was just wondering, like waiting.
Right.
And then when you came out with the Instagram story, I was a little bit confused. But then when you came out with the first podcast episode, I think everyone collectively was like, all right,
yeah.
This is her side. And it's,
they
are two different, completely different sides.
Mm-hmm.
So it did make a divide.
It
for
did.
Sure.
It was really wild to see because for a moment in time, it was everyone fucking hates me. And then when I finally spoke my truth, then it was like this complete flip where people were like, now we hate her. Now it's like Sophia. And it's, you know, yeah, there was a huge divide that happened for sure.
So you and Peter were doing long distance while you were in Utah?
He was living with me at my mom's.
Oh, I love that.
It was really sweet. It was really cute. We got very, very close. But I mean, also the both of us were like traveling a shit ton, New York, LA, like back and forth. But yeah.
So you and Sloot Man lived together in Utah?
We did.
And then you're dropping this new podcast. Was he completely supportive of you dropping a new podcast or scared?
Oh, no. Okay. No. He wasn't scared at all. He was like, you do you. And he's supporting me all the way.
That's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And what a unique experience going through, like, the world. Even though it's not, even though it's, like, not the world crashing down, we just like to
sensationalize. No, it was the world crashing down.
No. I mean, where my head was at, I was like, the world is crumbling.
Of course. Mm-hmm. And I mean, rightfully so. It's like you just wake up one day and you see a ton of different media outlets talking about you, people on Twitter jumping to conclusions.
Yeah.
I'm sure you were getting tons of people tweeting at you, harassing you.
I mean, I wouldn't look. That's a lie. Every once in a while, I would like maybe look and it was just like negative. And there would be like one positive thing that's like, this story isn't adding up and I don't trust like what I'm hearing. And like, I want you to speak and I'm like on your team. And I think that's crazy that even regardless of what happened, like this, the Call Her Daddy was your show. You were 50% of that shit. I think I was a little bit more. I think it was my personality and my jokes and my stories. But it's hard to explain to people how that feels to really feel like the entire world fucking hates you.
Well, a day in the life of cancellation, I'm sure you were just going through it mentally, an absolute breakdown.
Oh.
But when did this podcast idea come out where you're like, I got to come up with, you know, Sophia with an F?
To be honest, and this is where I'm really proud of myself, the second it was confirmed that I was not going to be able to continue on the old show, I was like, there's a new show coming.
There she is.
Just right off the bat. Does that mean I was like mentally okay? No, but I just numbed myself and I was like, let's go. Let's do this as quickly as possible.
Yeah. And now you've built it into a whole company, a whole brand.
Yes.
Why is that? It's Sloot Media.
Mm-hmm.
Why is it necessary?
What do you mean? Like,
there's like anyone can make a podcast. Like, you know, there's
over
2 million podcasts. And it's like, why should people listen to yours? Why does Sloot Media, why should you guys have, why should people come to you?
Right. And the podcast, Sophia the Neff. I mean, I think it's because I am like the most self-deprecating person and I never really hype myself up and I'm working on that. But I do have this ability to be so fucking authentic and real and honest and vulnerable and talk about things that people don't want to talk about and talk about them in a way where I'm like, no bullshit. This is really how I feel. This is really what's going on. And a lot of people, they love that and they can relate to it. And I think it makes them feel better about their shit. You know, it's like it's when you don't talk about things that you kind of like store it in the back of your head and you feel shame for whatever reason. And I'm like, fuck that. Let's talk about it.
How do you think you're able to be so vulnerable and just really wear your emotions on your sleeve? I think you're totally right. You nail on the head. That's totally why people are attracted to you.
Mm-hmm.
But does that just come to you naturally? Is it something that you think you learned over time?
That is such a good fucking question. I'm going to put in my notes out to ask my therapist. I'm not kidding. And the thing is, I've always been like that since I was really little. I don't know what it is. I think that, I don't know. I've always been an open book. I mean, I did have somewhat of like a traumatic childhood to some degree. And I think maybe like my mom always taught me. My mom had me in therapy, by the way, since I was like in diapers. Maybe that's why I feel like really comfortable just being like very honest about my shit. But I think that going through something growing up, and I mean, everyone's had like somewhat of a fucked up childhood in one way, shape, or form. I think it kind of forced myself to talk about hard things. And my mom taught me to be very open with her about stuff. And I kind of, even though I do care what people think, because everyone does, at the same time, like, I don't really care, like, if they judge me on something I say.
Well, you've gotten the brunt of it. You've gotten the brunt of it.
Well, yeah. Especially now, I don't give a flying fuck, you know?
Yeah.
Truly.
Do you think this is something that we kind of talk about on this podcast. It's like you're mingling with a lot of people who are, like, influencers.
Mm-hmm.
And what are there? Other celebrities. What is it like being a part of that world?
It's like It depends, right? Like, there is a lot of surface level, fake, superficial shit that I definitely don't vibe with. I'm not saying all influencers are like that, because that's not true. But, I mean, the industry, you're going to find a lot more of those types of people in there. I don't vibe with that. I can tell immediately when I meet someone if they're just, like, fake bullshitting, you know? But on the flip side, being able to just talk my shit for a living has been like the biggest blessing in my entire life. And so, I mean, working in this industry, it's been really interesting. It's been a relief in some ways than like working the 9 to 5 and like finance and bullshit. But it's also, it's stressful too, right? It's like, now everything I do, it's not just I have to worry about it. It's going to affect my mom. It's going to affect my family. It's going to be public for literally everyone to have like their opinion on it. But I wouldn't have it any other way.
2 years later, now would you say you're glad it happened because of where you are today?
Yes.
Okay.
And I say that right now. Do I feel like 100% yes? I just know, but I know, you know, ultimately I'm going to say this was meant to happen, and it was the best thing that could have happened in my life.
Wow.
I know that deep down.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Can I ask you a cliche question?
Yes.
Where is Sophia in 5 years?
Woo!
Because you have a lot of goals. I mean, you're building this company.
Yeah.
You have a lot of things going. Mm-hmm. What are you prioritizing right now?
Yeah. I feel like I'm like in the job interview and they're like, what's your 5 year
plan?
This is a
super job interview question. Like, and I'm also, I have a pen in my hand and I'm looking, yeah. I have my notes. But I'm genuinely curious.
Is because TMZ you have hiring?
Hell yeah.
For sure.
Come
Please
aboard.
Sit next to me, by the way.
No, then let me rephrase it so you don't feel like you're back at JP Morgan. No, the point is you. I've just heard you talk on a bunch of podcasts and you have a lot of goals. I mean, and it's crazy when you said that it was 3 years ago. I feel like you were a vet. Like, you've been in this shit for years and years.
And really hasn't been that long, if you really think about it.
Well, if you go through all that shit, though, that tallies up the time, I feel like.
Yeah.
So, I mean, just what are some of the things that you're looking to get done?
Right. There are so many things. I mean, I have like a never-ending list of things. I think it's really, I want to hone in on my brand and who I am and just really like capitalizing on that and just giving people something that is so authentic and so real. And I don't know if that will be a podcast forever. I don't know if it will be in a different format, but I think I'm just still a work in progress. 5 years from now, maybe I'll be pregnant and be like a sugar baby. I have no fucking clue. A stay-at-home mom, but I do have big plans.
So are you looking to build out the brand? Are you looking for new talent, people who you kind of see eye to eye with?
I can't speak on that too much, but short answer is yes.
Mm-hmm. Got you.
Yes, there are some things in the works, and I know it's so annoying when people say that shit, but it is what it is. It is what it is.
No, you got to keep your cards close to your chest. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
You have a media company now, Sloot Media. Yes. Tell us where Sloot came from.
So
the name
Slut is a version of the word slut. And really, I think it came from my mom being foreign as fuck and not being able and just saying words wrong or like phrases wrong. And we'd be like saying someone or something is a slut, which is an empowering thing to say, by the way. And she would say slut. And that's really where it came from. Also, I grew up in Utah, and like, you're so scared to say, it's not, oh my God, it's oh my gosh.
Right.
And it's not slut, maybe just say slut. And so I was like, fuck it, Slut Media. I mean, my brand is heavily, it has a lot to do with sex and women being sluts. And I wanted to make that like an empowering thing.
Wait, I did not know that slut was the polite way of saying slut.
Oh, 100%.
Really? I thought that was just like
no
dudes being dudes, like, oh, salute. Like, no, not at all.
No, it's literally like the nice girly way of saying salute.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
And you want to be called a salute. Like, that's the goal.
That
like,
is the goal.
I'm a salute.
Uh-huh.
Learning a lot right now.
Yes. Salute media. I love when I like have these like serious business conversations or I go to the bank and they're like, your account is salute media. I'm like, that's the one.
Can I ask you a TMZ question?
Go for it.
Celeb crush.
Oof. Oh my God. I'm like literally thinking about all the men.
You're blushing.
I'm like
you're
getting
like,
my hair. I have a really big thing for Javier Bardem.
Wow.
Whoa.
He's older.
That is an acquired taste.
I understand he's older.
Sophia, I did not expect you to say that. I'm like in shock. Not that he's not, but I did not expect
that. Incredibly talented guy.
Right, that's not what I'm saying. But you wouldn't think Sophia with an F's dream crush, him.
I know. I think that shows like I have taste.
And 100%.
Right? And I care about, he's like an actual good actor. And I think he would be really something in bed. Like, okay. He gives those vibes, like, I don't fucking know.
What type of vibes? Like, when you see him act, you're like, how do you see someone in a movie and you're like, oh, he'd kill
I mean, what? Bed. No Country for Old Men. And he's like, he's literally like a serial killer, like, has no feelings, like, just a monster. I'm like, that shit would rock my vagina 100%.
See, this is the Sophia that I was expecting. Yes. Give some tips on your Sophia with an F expertise on how to date in 2022.
Ooh, how to date in 2022.
Compared to Call
Her
Daddy.
How many times have you gotten
Sophia
that? Like, do people just come to you all the time? They're like, how do
Not
I date?
Not with the Sophia with an F angle.
Okay.
This is like all her. What was your dating advice with Sophia with an F?
My genuine advice is I think that women need to start dating from a place of, I am 100% fine being alone. And this could just be like an addition to like my life that I love already.
100%.
So many women go into dating thinking like,
he completes me.
He's going to complete me. Or like, there's not like that many good guys that like are available. Like, I need to grab onto one. It's like, don't start dating until you are okay being by yourself and just being you.
So you're saying that women, or men too, they find partners to fill the void inside them. And really, what you should be doing is filling that void through yourself.
Yes.
Whether it be working out, doing well at your job.
100%. And also, I think that people will go into dating and they want someone to complete them, right? And then that just ends up fucking you in the end because that other person can feel that energy and that vibe of your kind of like desperation, what you're looking for, and it's a turnoff. So if you go in there and you genuinely feel like, hey, I don't need you, but like maybe we could have fun and see where this goes, that's getting a guy's dick hard.
Right, because then he'll be like, oh, now I really can't fuck it up because she doesn't care if like, I'm around. What about, give me 5 red flags. I'm single. I'm in LA. Like, give it to me.
5 red flags.
Crypto.
Him splitting the bill on the first date.
Stop.
Crypto.
Who splits the bill on the first date?
I could not.
That's so bad.
I'm so glad that's never happened. But that's absolutely
no one does that.
They do.
Dudes do that shit all the time.
Hey, let's go out. Let's split
the
bill.
I would walk out. Okay, that's 2-3 more. I think if he cancels or shows up really, really fucking late, give him one more chance. But that's already,
he's already in deep water.
Yes. Mm-hmm. If he is talking nonstop about his exes like his ex-girlfriend.
That's just triggering. I just went into a time warp.
Who
I
does
just like,
that?
Oh, guys,
literally
dude,
everyone.
You have to be so tone deaf
to
go on a date with someone
Jacob,
and be like,
they do it all the time.
Almost to the point where I'm like, I would just like one that doesn't even mention her. Like, literally. I don't even want, I want you to tell me you've never kissed a girl at this point.
So people are just using date as a free therapy session.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. A lot of men do that. And then I would say the last one is if they are talking about how much money they make, how big their apartment is, they have like a Picasso in their apartment, they drive a Lambo, like if they're trying to flex and it's so obvious, bye.
I mean, when you said Picasso in the apartment, I'm like, what type
You're
of dudes is Sophia dating?
I did go on a date with this like hedge fund guy, and he was like talking nonstop about like, I got a Picasso and I did da da da. And I'm like, I mean, I'll go and I'll like look at it, but.
Okay, wait, I need to get into the caller daddy headspace for a sec. I'm sitting next to Sophia Franklin. I need to ask this. When it comes to your worst date story ever that you've never told on Caller Daddy, worst date, you think back and you're like, what was the worst date I went on? Can you please give us a story?
This is going to sound a little bit surface level, and I'm very high maintenance and I really don't care. This guy was like, I have tickets to a Knicks game. You need to be super dressed up because we're sitting courtside.
He didn't say that.
Yeah, he did, which I loved.
Okay, that's the superficial part.
But he wasn't bragging. He just said, I have courtside tickets, so like, look, you know, look cute.
Okay.
And I showed up and it was not courtside. It was six rows back, which is fine. Just don't sell me on the, it's courtside. Right. I would have worn fucking sneakers to this shit, you know?
Okay.
And then I had a huge zit and I was so embarrassed about it. And I asked him to take a picture of me and eating a hot dog or like drinking something or something. I was like, oh, just take a pic of me. And he was like, wait, you need it. We need to like cover up the zit. And
he
was
did
like,
not.
Tell
me.
He was like, hold the drink in front of it, like, we gotta do this, like, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, just take the picture, dude. I know I have a zit.
That's so
bad. So bad.
This stuff that you guys are describing, I don't think you're making it up, but I would love to meet these dudes because it's not like I'm so great, but it's like there's just a level of normalcy.
Mm.
And like, these are like basic things. Like, you don't, like, walk into a restaurant naked either.
Because, no, the like, best that's part's when, like, polite. They give you the buildup and you get on the date and then they're, like, completely the opposite. They, like, gave you a narrative that they just like, don't even stick to. That's my favorite.
Right.
Like, I'm this guy and, like, I'm really sweet. I'm, like, I'm usually the most sensitive guy, like, out of my friend group. And then you get there and he's, like, so I just, like, fucked this girl last week.
Yeah, and they show up.
And I'm, like, I'm on a date with you.
I hate when they show up completely different people. But you're acting shocked right now.
We know.
It's 80% of dudes are like, what, you're like a movie character and you're disgusting. I don't want to date you.
Calling out someone's zit is so rude.
And it
I would
wasn't
cry
like that
if someone
bad.
Called out zit.
It wasn't even like that bad. You know what I mean? It's like, just let me have a zit. Like,
wait,
it would be
gone. Would you be open to talking about what was the nicest thing that Sloop Man did for you in your relationship this far?
Oh my God. I mean,
because everyone thinks he's like the worst guy on planet Earth.
He's not. When you ask me the nicest thing he's ever done for me, it's an ongoing list that like I can't even point out one thing. He's been the nicest, most generous, amazing dude that I've ever dated. Hands down, no question.
I love that. Because after everything, I think that's what everyone wants to know.
Yeah.
Is he a good guy to you?
He's just a good guy in general, and anyone that actually knows him knows that.
So do you have anything you want to share with the audience, like what you have coming out?
Well, if you can see my trucker hat, it says, I have options. It's this new merch line I just dropped, and it's
I need
so
one.
I'm gonna get you shit, but it's like it's the cutest thing I've dropped. But like the meaning behind it is basically, I dropped a TikTok that went viral, and when I say viral, the Daily Mail picked it up, the New York Post picked it up, like it like took over. And
talk about the TikTok.
The TikTok was me giving a tip on what to do on a first date, and it was to have like the bartender send you an anonymous shot so that this guy is sitting there being like, oh, there's another dude in here that's like sending her a shot. Like, guys,
brilliant.
Like dudes want this girl. And it just shows like you have fucking options. And the Daily Mail kind of tried to shit on it, and they were just kind of like, is this toxic behavior or is this okay? And I found it hilarious, and it's like, let everyone know you have options. I have options.
That's called 5D chess.
Yeah, Daily Mail is called standards. How about that?
Exactly.
And also, if I'm getting a little bit more like philosophical with it, I think it plays into your whole approach to dating.
And yes, Sophia with
exactly.
An F.
It's exactly. You should always feel and really believe and let them know you have options.
What drink do you send yourself? When it comes to sending yourself a drink on your first date.
Sweetheart, we're doing Casamigos tequila shot.
Amazing.
Ba-boom.
Yes.
I gotta say, I've learned a lot. I've learned top to bottom.
I have one last question.
This has been an educational episode.
I have one last question.
Go for it.
Caller Daddy fans didn't ever get to speak to you again after the falling out with your ex-co-host.
Right.
She had full, you know, control over that. If you could talk to the Caller Daddy fans, because unless they went to your podcast, you never got to speak to them again.
Right.
What would you say to the Caller Daddy fans that you didn't get to say goodbye to, get to say your piece? What would you say?
I would say I mean, I had a real connection with them when I was doing Call Her Daddy. I think that they should absolutely come over to Sophia with an F and don't fucking believe everything that you read in the news. We all know, like, a lot of that shit is just fake.
Hell yeah.
You know?
I love it.
Yep.
Well,
not TMZ, though. This shit's real.
For real.
Thank you,
awesome.
Sophia.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
This was amazing.
Thank you.
So that was our interview with Sophia Franklin. Thank you guys so much for watching. Be sure to check us out on Apple, Spotify, Google, wherever you get your playlists. And we'll see you next time.
Wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh.
Right?
Yep. We'll see you next time. Bye.